الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أخبرني عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خرج يخبر بليلة القدر فتلاحى رجلان من المسلمين فقال إني خرجت لأخبركم بليلة القدر وإنه تلاحى فلان وفلان فرفعت وعسى أن يكون خيرا لكم التمسوها في السبع والتسع والخمس. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. سيدنا أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه reports, he says that Ubada bin Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu informed me. Anas radiyallahu anhu and Ubada bin Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they are both eminent companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that the incident which follows was narrated to me by Ubadah bin Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Ubadah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم came out. يخبر بليلة القدر. Giving information regarding ليلة القدر. The night of Qadr, the night of power. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came out from that place which was designated for his i'tikaf. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, carrying out the i'tikaf of the last 10 days of Ramadan. And a place was designated in the Masjid Al-Nabawi. And he was in that place behind a veil. And the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majma'in, were also in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came out from behind the veil, from that place that was designated for his i'tikaf. And he came out with the intention of informing the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in regarding the night of Qadr, the night of power. He came out to inform the Sahaba that this year, this particular night is the night of Qadr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed him. So during itikaf, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Laylatul Qadr will fall on this night of the last 10 days. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam must have understood that it is permissible for me to inform the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in also. This is not a secret between me and my Creator. So in order for the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in to benefit from this khair, he came out of the mu'takaf. He came out from his designated place for itikaf to inform the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in that alhamdulillah, I have been informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Laylatul Qadr or the night of power will fall on this night during the last 10 days of Ramadan. فَتَلَاحَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. But it so happened that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stepped out of the mu'takaf. He had just come out from the designated place of itikaf, and two men from amongst the Muslims quarreled in the masjid. Two men from the Muslims, that means two Sahaba, Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, quarreled. An argument took place between two Sahaba, Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And sometimes, a quarrel, an argument, a rift takes place between two individuals or two families or two parties as a result of something which is very, very insignificant. And it is shaitan who instigates. Shaitan instigates. So each and every Muslim has to be very, very careful. And he should continually monitor himself and his nafs. Because shaitan is our eternal enemy. And it is his desire to bring grief upon us in this world and also bring grief upon us in the hereafter. So any grief that we experience in this world, he enjoys. And he tries to bring that grief in our life, or he tries to make us do those things which will not only bring grief in this world, but also in the hereafter. So two companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, some commentators of hadith have mentioned their names also. Abdullah ibn Hadrad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Ubay ibn Ka'b, Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. They began arguing. And sometimes when we quarrel, when we argue, slowly, 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 voices are raised. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain were very, very particular. So they would not use vulgar language. They would not swear at each other. But voices are raised. And raising voice in the masjid, in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was not something nice. In a place full of blessings, during that month which is full of blessing, so the time is full of blessing, place is full of blessing, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there. And voices were raised. Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was owed some money by Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad radiyallahu, Abdullah ibn Hadrad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And when they both met each other, some conversation took place which resulted in this argument. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out from the i'tikaf to inform the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in as to when or during which night is Laylatul Qadr going to fall, and suddenly these two individuals began arguing, quarreling. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after calming the two individuals down and after sorting their matter out, said, Inni kharajtu li ukhbirakum bi laylatil qadr. Because the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain did not know why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come out. He said, Inni kharajtu liukhbirakum bi laylatil qadr. I came out of my mu'takaf. I came out from the place that is designated for my i'tikaf, that I have designated for my i'tikaf, or my khuddam has designated for my. I have come out from that place liukhbirakum bi laylatil qadr in order to inform you regarding the night of Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed me or had informed me that Laylatul Qadr will fall on this particular night, and I wanted all of you to also benefit from that information. So I came out to give you that information. وَإِنَّهُ تَلَاحَ فُلَانٌ وَفُلَانٌ. But it so happened that such and such, Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad radiyallahu anhu, they both quarreled and they both argued. They both quarreled, they both argued. Arguing and quarreling, remaining within Shari'i limits, is not impermissible. So they were not doing anything impermissible. Arguing and quarreling means I say something, you say something, I say something, you say something, I say something, you say something. So Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiyallahu anhu was owing money to Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu must have demanded his money. He may have asked a certain question. He may have made a certain comment remaining within the limits of Sharia. You have delayed the payment. You made promises before. Despite that, you have not paid me. When are you going to pay me? So, Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu said something. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat said something. Ka'b ibn Malik said something. Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat said something. Ka'b ibn Malik. This is argument. And argument, there is nothing wrong with arguing. But when two people begin to argue, when two people begin to quarrel, Shaitan takes advantage of it. And Shaitan takes advantage of it, and many a times these two people cross the boundaries. People like us, who are either not pious, or who are pious, but not to that level. The level of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain. When we cross the boundary, we go far away from the boundary. The Sahaba Ikram Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain, if they cross the boundary, they cross the boundary, but they would not go too far. So there was nothing wrong with quarreling. There was nothing wrong with arguing, because it was a necessity. A person will ask for his money, and the other person will try to justify his delay. If I don't have money, how can I pay you? The intention was there. I was sincere in the promise I made. I'm making a promise again. Inshallah, soon I will pay. As far as the quarreling is concerned, there was nothing wrong. And because they were within limits, even quarreling in the masjid was okay. To demand your haq from somebody, there is nothing wrong. If you remain within the Shari'i limits, within the masjid also. But without realizing, slowly, voices were raised. Because Shaitan is always with us. Shaitan is always with us. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala has also narrated this incident in his Sahih. And he says, فَجَاءَ رَجُلَانِ يَحْتَقَّانِ. Two men came into the masjid, and they were both defending their rights. Yahtaqqan. One was demanding his right, and the other was saying that it is also my right that I don't pay you at the moment because I don't have the ability. So this is my right. So both of them were defending their rights. And in Muslim Sharif, the narrator says, Ma huma shaitan. And with both of them was Shaitan. Shaitan follows everybody. Shaitan follows the Sahaba. Shaitan follows the Awliya. Shaitan follows the Muttaqoon. Shaitan is with everybody. So he took advantage of this argument, and voices were raised. And voices were raised in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this argument that took place between the two Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain was not out of order. Embed this in your hearts and minds. Do not let this thought come in your mind that two companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arguing in the masjid. It was not laghw, it was not something futile. And it was not because of this argument that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala took away the khair that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to give to the Ummah. No. There was nothing wrong with the argument. There was nothing wrong with this particular quarrel, because it was within Shari'i limits. But when voices were raised during the month of Ramadan in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Do not raise your voices above the normal voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was this line that was crossed. Raising the voice more than it was supposed to have been raised. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that I came out from my mu'takaf to inform you regarding the night of Laylatul Qadr. وَإِنَّهُ تَلَاحَ فُلَانٌ وَفُلَانٌ But Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat and Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu argued. They both argued. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out. The quarrel argument took place. So he left his work on one side and he attended to these two sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. What is the problem? And when he came to know of the problem from where he was, he indicated with his hand, with his finger, in whatever way, to forgive part of the debt. So he instructed Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, so he indicated to Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, who was far away from him, that, oh Ka'b ibn Malik, forgive half and take half. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam knew the condition of Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Oh Ka'b ibn Malik, dha shatraka an daynik, forgive half and take half. Immediately, what did Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu say? Through the barakah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calmed down. And he said, fa'altu ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Messenger of Allah, agreed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiyallahu anhu, and he said, Ya Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat, iqdi daynak, make the payment. It is easy for you to make arrangements now because it's only half. So he also said, O Messenger of Allah, done. Fa'altu means done. Done means soon it will happen. This is called sulh. Sulh, arbitration. So one is the decision, fatwa, judgment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give a fatwa, he did not give a judgment, because fatwa and judgment demanded that he says to Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu that take full 100% from him. And he says to Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiyallahu anhu that make the full payment. No, he arbitrated. And when a person arbitrates, it is not necessary for both parties to agree upon that arbitration. Arbitration means to find the middle path, to resolve the argument. And if both parties agree, alhamdulillah. Because now they are not demanding their rights. Either of the two is letting go of part of his right. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arbitrated. And he said, oh Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, let me find the middle path to resolve this argument. He will not be able to pay the full sum. So make it half. He said, done. He said, now you pay. He said, done. What do we learn from this? We learn from this that we should not become bystanders and enjoy the arguments and quarrels of our Muslim brothers. We should try to resolve their issues. We find this in the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He would travel from one place to another place to resolve issues. Resolve issues between the Muslim community. We find a very, very well-known hadith in Bukhari Sharif. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once traveled from Madina Munawwara to Quba. Why did he travel? لِيُسْلِحَ بَيْنَهُمْ To arbitrate between the people there. There was some dispute between two parties. To arbitrate. And he remained in Quba until the matter was resolved. So much so that he was late for the Salat. And Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had to go to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and say, "Oh Abu Bakr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not returned, so lead the salat." And it was only after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had begun leading the salat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived. We should try to arbitrate between two people. Rather than arbitrating between two people, we ourselves become shayateen. And we instigate more. We say something here and we say something here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us instructions to this extent that try to arbitrate between two people and resolve the matter even if you have to lie. لَيْسَ الْكَذَّابُ الَّذِي يُسْلِحُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فَيَنْمِي خَيْرًا وَيَقُولُ خَيْرًا. There is a dispute between two people and the person trying to resolve the matter goes to Zaid who has a dispute with Amr and he says to Zaid that you are mistaken. Amr does not dislike you. Whenever I meet Amr, he always praises you. Whereas Amr has never praised Zaid. To prepare Zaid for meeting with Amr to resolve the issue, if a person says that Amr is always talking good about you, and then when he meets Amr, he says, "You are mistaken about Zaid. Zaid always talks good about you." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "This person in the port of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a liar because he is lying to resolve the issue between his two Muslim brothers." So we should try to resolve matters. Even the parties should try to find resolution. They should also try to resolve. Can you arbitrate? Please, can you arbitrate? I'm prepared to let go of so much. And in order to resolve the matter, if one is able to let go of everything, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, that if a person lets go of his right, despite knowing that it is my right, I am on haq. But he lets go. He lets go of that right. He knows that if I go to the court, I will win the case. But he lets go. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a place at the center of Jannah. A place at the center of Jannah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resolved the matter. And after resolving the matter, he said that I had come out to inform you regarding that night which was destined to be the night of Qadr this year. But such and such a person argued and quarreled. Farufi'at. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lifted that knowledge from me. Allah has lifted the Laylatul Qadr. That means Allah has lifted the knowledge of the night in which Laylatul Qadr was going to fall. Allah has lifted that knowledge from my heart and mind. Not that Allah has lifted away Laylatul Qadr and Laylatul Qadr will never return now. So Laylatul Qadr will return. It will come this year as well. During that particular night, the knowledge of which I had, but which has been taken away, and Laylatul Qadr will continue to come every year until the day of Qiyamah. But it's ta'ilin. The knowledge that was given to me that this year Laylatul Qadr will fall on this particular night, that knowledge has been taken away from me as a result of this argument, as a result of this quarreling. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was always very positive, he said, "Wa asa an yakuna khayran lakum." But it is hope that there is goodness for you in whatever has happened. So now, because I don't know which night is going to be Laylatul Qadr, he said, look for it. Iltamesuha, look for Laylatul Qadr. Fis-sab'i wat-tis'i wal-khamsi. It will either be the 27th night, it will either be the 27th night, 29th night, or the 25th night. So look for it in the 7th night of the last Ashara, 7th, 9th night of the last Ashara, or the 5th night of the last Ashara. So look for it in the 27th night, look for it in the 29th night, and look for it in the 25th night. This is the gist of this hadith. Inshallah, we will try to go through this hadith again and discuss the various durus that come to mind in detail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to attach ourselves to the ilm of nubuwwah, attach ourselves to the Quran, the ahadith, attach ourselves to the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the sound understanding of the ilm of nubuwwah, of the Quran and of the ahadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to differentiate between what is right, what is wrong, what is haq, what is batil. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter grant us the ability to follow haq, follow right, and stay away from batil, stay away from falsehood. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, after understanding correctly, Allah grant us the tawfiq to practice whatever we learn. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us complete believers, complete mu'mineen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to propagate these beautiful teachings to other people also, as far as we are able to reach. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Many of you already are aware that a very great luminary of this ummah, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Yunus Sahib John Puri, rahimahullah ta'ala, has passed away early this morning. When a very great scholar from Egypt visited Darul Uloom Deoband during the era of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, and he was a great alim of the Muslim world. He went from Egypt. He was Egyptian. And when he went to Darul Uloom Deoband, after participating in the dars of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, he made this comment, Wallahi ma ra'aytu mislahu. By Allah, I have never seen anybody like him. Those ulama, both Arab and non-Arab, who have observed Sheikh Yunus Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, and who have benefited from his knowledge, all of them will be able to repeat this sentence, and they will be able to say, Wallahi ma ra'aytu mithlahu. He was ayatum min ayatillah. He was a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after a few decades or a few centuries, creates a person who strengthens what we believe in. For example, our belief is that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was given an extraordinary memory. And there were so many muhaddithun and so many other ulama who were given extraordinary memory.
But majority of us only have to believe, because there is no example in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends after a few decades, a few centuries, a person who people are able to see. And I believe that Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Yunus Sahranpuri rahimahullah ta'ala was one of those people. After listening to his discourse, after listening to his lesson, and the number of references that he would quote and he would give, and a person would come to this conclusion that yes, if this person can remember so much, then Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi must have had a memory that is mentioned in the books. So he was a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And total dedication to the ilm of Nubuwa. Total dedication. So much so that he did not even marry. So much dedication to ilm that he did not even marry. He graduated from Saharanpur. And after graduating from Saharanpur, he began teaching in Saharanpur. And he was given a very small room to stay. And for 50 years approximately, he stayed in that very room and he continued teaching Bukhari Sharif and other, various other books. Alhamdulillah, we were able to witness such a personality in our time. What time for nothing? Shop, marketplace, he would only leave that room to go and perform salat in the masjid or go and give dars in his class. Or if he was traveling, then he would go as far as the train station or the bus station or car or whatever. His only life was ilm, 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 ilm. And with ilm, alhamdulillah, amal of a very high degree. So it wasn't only ilm. Ilm with amal, ilm coupled with amal, mashallah. He was also the khalifa of Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala. And if I can remember correctly, he was also khalifa of Mawlana Asadullah Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, the khalifa of Hazrat Abiyul Ummat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. And according to my limited knowledge, I would make this claim that not only amongst our akabir, our ulama, or the ulama of Indian subcontinent, throughout the world there was no match to Sheikh Yunus Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala in the whole world as far as hadith is concerned. So very great loss to the ummah. Very great loss to the ulama. Very great loss. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all his effort. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah to all those people who have benefited from him, from the academic line and from the spiritual line. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them alive for a very long time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them instrumental in spreading the ulum and the fuyuz of Hadrat Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala. And when a person passes away, when Imam Muhammad or Imam Abu Yusuf, I think it is Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala, when he passed away, he was buried in Ar-Ray. So Harun Rashid, after the burial, Harun Rashid, I think he made a comment that Dafantul Fiqh bir-Ray, that today I have buried the science of Fiqh, because Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi has gone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gives ilm to, it is the qudrat of Allah, small brain, small heart, and Allah gives so much knowledge, so much knowledge, so much knowledge, that even if a person spent all his life transferring that knowledge on paper, he would not be able to do. So when a person leaves, not one library, many libraries go in the grave. All the ulum that Hazrat Shaykh had, it's gone in the grave today. But we make dua that all the notes that were taken by his students, all the notes that were written by Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala himself, may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make it possible for its printing so that the Ummah can continue to benefit until the Day of Qiyamah. And another pious personality, Hazrat Maulana Ismail Bajaj Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, who originally belonged to the state of Gujarat in India and who migrated from Gujarat to Medina Munawwara and who spent many years in Medina Munawwara, almost 40-50 years. And in order to stay in Medina Munawwara, in order to die in Medina Munawwara, in order to be buried in Jannatul Baqi and acquire the virtues mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had to undergo so many hardships. So many hardships. He was the Khalifa of Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali. And during the latter stage of his life, those close to him, they informed me that during the latter stage of his life, they informed me during his lifetime, and we also used to observe him in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi, always reciting the Quran. He would arrive between Asr and Maghrib. He would arrive either at Asr or just after Asr, and you would only see him reciting the Quran. He would meet people for a while and then he would recite the Quran. If somebody went to meet him, he would shake hand, hello, how are you, talk for a few minutes, 2-3 minutes, and he would recite the Quran. So in his latter stages, last 5-6-7 years, he was completing the whole Quran daily. He would begin the Quran at home and he would complete in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi and leave only after that. So two pious personalities, two individuals from our Akabir and elders have passed away today. Within hours. And both of them have been buried. So make dua for both of them. And make dua for the Ummah as well, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompensate this loss by granting these abilities and these barakat and these spiritualities to other individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qadir, He can do anything. And when pious people pass away, we need to do a few things. Number one, we need to, according to the Sunnah method, read the Adiyya and the prayers that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. One of them is, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati hadihi wa akhlif li khayran minha. O Allah, grant me ajr and reward me for this musibah and for this pain that I am experiencing. And O Allah, what you have taken away, give me something more better than what you have taken away. And after that, try to do something good and send its reward, gift its reward to these pious personalities, because we are indebted to them. Directly or indirectly, we have benefited from them. And number three, we have to also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recompensate the loss. Because we are not familiar with the academic and the spiritual realm. So we don't know the loss that has taken place. We don't really, we just feel a pious person has gone away. And finally, one by one, pious people are going. Pious people are going, and we cannot find substitutes for them. So if a person of this level has gone, now will remain people of this level. And when these people go away, people of this level will remain. So the akabir that are left behind, the pious people that are left behind, the ulama that are left behind, let us benefit from them as much as possible. Let us value them before they even leave. They may not be like those who have gone away, but when they will go away, you will not find the likes of them also. So try to benefit from them. Contemplate for a while that these two pious personalities have gone. Those people who are spiritually connected to them, how they must be feeling today. Contemplate. And then tell yourself that if my Shaykh goes away, if my teacher goes away, if he passes away, and I have not benefited from him, how will I feel that day? So I need to take benefit. I need to take benefit from my Shaykh, from my teacher. I need to value my Shaykh, my teacher, before he leaves. I need to make sure that my deen is kamil. My deen is 100%. My tazkiyah has taken place. Soul purification has taken place. Whenever luminaries passed away, whenever pious people passed away, these are the lessons we need to embed in our hearts and minds, and these are the things we need to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.